This is Final Draft on 2SER. I'm Benedict Taylor, and coming up next, kids grappling with self-esteem issues while they save the universe. According to Karen Stapleton, her debut novel is a willful, independent-minded love child spawned in a writerly menage a trois featuring John Marsden, C.S. Lewis, and J.K. Rowling. The book in question, The Terror of Prism Fading, is a tale of fantasy and adventure for readers aged 10 or older, and it is the first in a projected series. Karen Stapleton spoke recently with 2SER's Ariane Mintz, and she began by reading from her self-published novel.
While Tor was speaking, Rabbit had been looking at the things in Jasper's arms. Maybe that rock is a crystal ball and tells you the future, and maybe that dirt is from another world and we can use it somehow to get there. Rabbit was half joking and half hopeful. And maybe this cloth, and she twitched the piece of fabric from Jasper's arms, is actually a cloak that makes you invisible when you put it on. She fluttered the piece of cloth open and wrapped herself in it in one fluid movement. Naturally, nothing happened. Don't be ridiculous, snapped Aiden. Take that off and show some respect. Aiden went to tug the fabric off Rabbit. But Rabbit had had enough. She was tired and sore and just a little overwhelmed with stories of wars and sorceresses and fading universes and nothing that was actually something, and tried to eat everything it touched. And she was tired of feeling stupid and of saying the wrong thing and feeling like an outsider. And most of all, she was tired of this spoilt brat princess who kept telling her what to do.
Karen Stapleton, congratulations on your debut novel, The Terror of Prism Fading, which I need to let you know I thoroughly enjoyed, even though I'm way over the age of 10. Could you tell listeners a little about the story without giving too much away?
It starts with two children who come from this world, from Australia, in fact. Given that I live now in America, I actually ummed and ahed about whether I should base the book in America, but I wanted to be true to my roots, and I based the book in Australia. And there's two children who are basically the two least popular children in their year at school. And they go on a school excursion where they experience bullying, wearing unattractive swimming costumes and, you know, all the sorts of things which are a nightmare for children of around the age of, you know, 12 and 13. And while they're on a school excursion, they get sucked through into another world where they meet two other children, and together the four children go on a quest to look for a magic crystal. The crystal is really important because it generates all the colour in the world through which they've been drawn, and this crystal's been stolen, and they're looking for the crystal to find it and restore the colour to this magical world, which is called Prism.
What on earth inspired you to embark on this quest? Because I understand it started almost 15 years ago.
It did. It started a long time ago. The whole story started, and this is a personal moment, definitely, because my husband's nickname for me is actually Rabbit. And just through general exchanges in our household, I decided that I wanted to write books for little children about the age of five. But the more I started to get into that, the more I realised that the message that I wanted to convey really wasn't for little children. It was actually for older children. And Rabbit actually became a key figure in Prism, and the books evolved from there. So over a 15-year period, they went from, you know, like a 600-word picture book for a five-year-old into a five-book series, which is probably going to rock in around 1,500 pages by the time it's finished.
I think this book has a lot of heart, but tell us about the central themes, if that's okay.
My background is as a child psychologist, as a developmental psychologist, and from there I went into training in dispute resolution. And consequently, when you put those two together, you end up working with a lot of fractured families, a lot of, you know, disputes between adults, between adult and child, you know, just all disputes of all types, divorces and so on and so forth. And what I found in dispute resolution and in mediation was that that will only ever be retrospectively putting out fires. And I guess working in that area just for, you know, even the shortest period of time led me very quickly to the conclusion that, you know, the only way to have a peaceful world is to bring up peaceable children. And so the central theme in these books is how to find peace, how to achieve a goal when, you know, when you don't necessarily get on with the people, you know, with whom you have to achieve the goal.
This comes out very strongly in the first book, and I'm sure you're going to build on that.
By book two, virtually nobody gets along. It's exactly the sort of thing that one gets when, you know, you throw four teenagers with almost nothing in common together and say, you know, you're now under a lot of pressure to basically save the universe, get it done. They're trying to save the universe, but they're also trying to hook up with each other. They're trying to, you know, make friends. They're trying not to look stupid. They're embarrassed a lot of the time. There's self-esteem issues, and all at the time that they're trying to save the universe. So yeah, there's a fair bit of pressure involved, and a lot of falling out happens along the way.
Now, Karen, the interesting thing is that you've made a decision to self-publish. So could we talk a little bit about that?
Well, it's in some ways it's the hardest of all routes, and in only probably one way it's the easiest. The way in which it's the easiest is that you don't have to work around anybody else's expectations. You can say what you want to say. You can do it when you want to do it. You don't have to edit. You don't have to change it. You can work out what you want to say and just say it. In that way, it's the easiest of all routes. In every other way, I'd say it's the hardest possible way to publish a book, because everything that publishing machine would normally do for you, you have to do yourself. And I work writing books, and I accepted early on that that's all I can do. I always have referred to myself as basically being a technomoron, and that's all I expect of myself is some sort of, you know, creative input. Everybody else takes it from there. My husband works on hard copy publishing part of it. I have another friend who does the e-publishing part, doing the Kindle, you know, through Yahoo. I work with a children's artist. I have a web designer, and basically it's a team of professionals, all of whom I coordinate to get this out there.
Well, I mean, it sounds like a tough route. I mean, first of all, you have to fund it yourself as well.
Absolutely. Self-publishing really demands some thousands of dollars, I would say, even to get started effectively. If you don't have a way to network it, if you can't put up a website, if you can't get great art on the cover, that book will live and die with you.
So I guess what hope do you hold out for this being successful?
Oh, huge hope. I don't think, for someone like myself who actually approaches this very professionally, I wouldn't do it unless I had a lot of hope that it was going to be successful. Unlike a lot of writers who do this just to make money, I'm lucky in my position in that I'm really not doing it to make a set amount of money. I'm really doing it to touch kids. Now, whether I think I'm going to achieve that, I absolutely do. My goal is to get it out to to as many kids as I can, but really to change their lives rather than to just sell books. To that end, I've been asked to speak in schools about this and to present this book, to use this book like in a half-day seminar, teaching kids how to resolve disputes without using their fists. Bullying, for instance, being such an issue in schools as it is these days. This also hooks a little bit into the political climate these days, the way everyone seems to solve a dispute by getting a gun or a bigger gun or a bigger gun. A central theme which comes out in book one and will travel through all the books is that the problems that are going to be solved in the land of prison will never be solved by picking up a weapon. And so in schools, these books can actually be used in dispute resolution courses and seminars and, you know, teaching kids how to get along with each other.
Karen Stapleton there, speaking with Ariane Mintz about her self-published novel for kids, The Terror of Prism Fading. For more information about the book or to get your hands on a copy, check out the website at www.theterrorofprismfading.com. And that's PRISM.